Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to another episode of Parks and Conversation. And this is a podcast where we watch an episode of Parks and Recreation, and then we talk about it. And the we in this conference call of podcasting is Jason, me, and Jeremy, who's the other voice you're going to hear right now.
Hey, how's it going?
So good. So good. Yeah, Jeremy, have an episode to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is season 6, episode 17, Galentine's Day. Now, listener, I know you may be confused because there was already a previous episode called Galentine's Day in season 2. This is another one of those. I hope that cleared that things up.
That is a different one.
This is a different one, but it does have Galentine's Day. It is missing Leslie's mom and Anne at the actual brunch. But yeah. So, I mean, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this episode. There's some funny things. There's some sad things, especially if you have dental fears. So,
Jeremy, bad at mazes.
Yeah, I cheat at so many mazes. Jeremy, what are your first impressions of this here episode?
There is a lot more tent talk in this than I remember. Mm-hmm. A lot of tents.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite. I really like that part.
Okay. Rob Hubel plays Harvey, the tenth guy, and Rob Hubel is really good at some things.
Yeah, being Rob Hubel.
Yes, he is a person that I'm sure is really, really nice, but I don't really want to watch him be a nice person. So, like in The Office, Rob Hubel plays AJ, Holly's boyfriend from Nashua, New Hampshire. And I don't like him in that at all. And it's not because he is in the way of Holly and Michael's relationship. It's because he's trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Rob, please be an idiot or be a smarmy jerk.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for from you. And I don't know if he's ever going to hear this. Rob, if you're listening, please send an email to parksandconversation@gmail.com and we can talk about it. But I don't know what we would say other than please be more human giant-y.
More the league.
Yes, or more children's hospital.
Or more parks and recreation.
Yes, those are the things we're looking for, Rob. Please, we're begging you. Because he's really good at it. He's so great.
That's why I like the 10 part, because we have this guest star and also just I kind of like the storyline we'll get into with Tom and Jerry and Ben. The Galentine's thing is fine. It's Leslie doing her, you know, over the top kind of makeup, figuring things out in life when she already has everything she needs right in front of her. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Andy and Ron's, like, I love their father, uncle, son, grandpa relationship. It's great. Yeah. What did you think about this episode?
I liked Rob Hubel and I liked Andy and Ron, and I had very little interest in anything happening with Leslie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I think this garnered a 7.6 on IMDb, and I think that's about right.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
A C rating? I would give it a C. Yes. Agree. So, let's talk about this a bit, because okay, there are those three plot lines. And so we'll start with everybody all together, and then they'll diverge, and then they'll come back together. It'll be great.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Like Lord of the Rings, or like the current season of Star Trek Picard, which is excellent. And I know people are not listening to this to get my Picard takes, but if you watched The Next Generation and you love all those characters, you might cry. So, yeah, it's an emotional thing that they have created there as Patrick Stewart is aging before us.
I wonder if there's anybody that like doing a podcast, but they drink while they do it, and it's called Picardy on Bacardi, where they just drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an idea. Throwing it out there. If you use it, let us know. We'll give it a listen.
Yeah, please. Or if they just have a Star Trek podcast that they record while walking around. It's just, it's season 7 of Star Trek The Next Generation, episode 4. Oh, I shouldn't have gone up this hill. But yeah, anyway, that was probably not something anybody wanted to listen to. but, you know, the editing function on my audio editor is minimal.
Powerful. Yeah. So, oh, minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump in here. So okay. We'll start with a cold open and then we'll do the conference room and then we'll follow Tom and Ben and Larry. And then we'll follow Ben and Andy and Ron. And then we'll go with Leslie's plot line. And then everybody comes back together. It'll be great.
Let's do it.
All right. So it starts with Ben coming into the living room and he discovers that Leslie has built what looks like a conspiracy wall, which is, you know, note cards and cork boards and yarn connecting everything together. And there are many, many things on this wall. And he realizes that his wife is going crazy. But Leslie says, this is because I need to make my call with Anne. And these are all conversation topics. And when you miss one or it takes a while, the conversation topics pile up. And so Ben is baffled by this. And he's like, is this really necessary? And Leslie is absolutely passionate that it is necessary. And so Ben suggests, well, I can talk to you about Sandra Bullock's skirt length. Mm-mm. And Leslie just looks at him like, no, you can't. You would just embarrass yourself, mm-hmm. which is true. And then Leslie says, anytime I start talking to you, I want to, in her words, jump your bones. And Ben's like, let's do that. And so then they go and do that off camera. Because this is a family show. So that's the cold open. Yeah, I think that may be why I don't really think the cold open is very funny.
Yeah.
And that might be why I was like, oh, this is going to be a not very fun episode.
So I wanted to see them like Ben has this random like pile of like fake bones and that they just take turns like jumping over. Like that's their thing.
Hey, have you heard of Urban Dictionary?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. If there's things like that are said, we're like, I wonder what that means.
Yeah.
You can go to Urban Dictionary and type in that expression and they'll explain it to you.
It's good to know.
Yeah. It's good to know.
It's a good PSA. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Especially if you have teenagers and you're like, I don't know how to ask what that means.
No. What are you saying right now?
Yeah. So you just go to Urban Dictionary. Like, are my kids swearing at me right now? So, and then you find out they're not. They're just talking weird.
So. Yeah, they're just saying the same things we used to say, but differently.
Mm-hmm. I recently learned that there's an expression called Riz.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That person has Riz.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? And this was in a class I was teaching with college students.
How did that even come up?
It is a Bible class and I was teaching about the prophets and like what comes up, what comes to mind. You asked what comes to mind when you think about the prophets and somebody said they're unpopular. And then another person said they don't have Riz. So then I was like, I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm writing it on the whiteboard. I'm like, I don't know what you mean by that. Like, I'm not going to commit it to a whiteboard. And they said they don't have charisma.
Charisma.
Like, oh, yeah.
Charisma.
And then I was like, well, actually then they do. And I broke down how charisma is used as part of the gifts of the spirit are called charismata. They're grace gifts and that the prophet would be filled with the spirit. So therefore they do have Riz. Drop the mic, ended class early. So yeah,
and they're like, anyway, we're never talking to this guy again.
Never use slang in front of Professor Duman again.
No,
it's a bad idea. So yeah, go look up that on your own time to see what Urban Dictionary says about that.
Yeah.
So then we have the credits and we cut to a conference room, everybody there kind of meeting, and they're working through the details for the Unity concert. And Ben and Tom are going to go to the tent people and finalize tent details. April and Donna are putting together the vendor location chart. And Ron volunteers to survey the park himself. And Leslie is overwhelmed, like, wow, this is great. I knew there would be a day when you would want to prioritize government work. And Ron is like, yes, that is exactly what's going on. And it cuts to a talking head where it's like, spending the day outside sounds like a dream. Because he's like, I love being a father, but there are a few things I miss. Silence, the absence of noise, and one single moment undisturbed by the sounds of a children's TV program called Doc McStuffins. There is no quiet anymore. There is only Doc McStuffins.
Oh, man.
Which is a show I hate. Did your kids ever watch that?
Not really. And that's, they were more, I went through a Bob the Builder phase with my oldest. Mm-hmm. And then Dinosaur Train, I want to say.
Yes, absolutely. And so,
yeah, those were our Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, Bob the Builder and Dinosaur Train, those were on like PBS.
Right.
Because they're maybe closer to educational and motivational, right?
Right. Oh, we did a lot of Leapfrog. Mm-hmm. A lot of Leapfrog too. Anyway, go ahead.
Doc McStuffins is neither educational nor motivational.
Yeah.
There's no actual medicine being practiced. It's usually just her.
More like malpractice.
Yeah, exactly. It's her like toys whining and complaining about whatever. And then she fixes it. It's annoying.
She should go fix Caillou. That's what she should fix.
My kids recently told me a very sad thing about what they thought Caillou is about.
Oh, a kid with cancer?
Yes.
Oh, because that's...
he's bald, and they're like, maybe he's sick.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at cancer. Just
I know.
How...
I was like, why would you even think that?
just how dark your kids are. That's.
I hated that show, too, but...
Anyway.
So, yeah. So, Ron wants to get outside, and Andy shows up right as they're doing this. And he's like, oh, sorry, I'm late. And Elsa's like, why don't you go with Ron and help him? And Ron's like, I don't need help. And then Andy calls Shotgun for all time in every vehicle for the rest of his life.
That's a good move. Strong move.
And he's pretty excited about it, except he failed to realize the foundational rule of Shotgun is that you have to wait till you get outside. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to hold up in shotgun court. So we'll have to get Purd on the case.
Well, how come there's no like kid, like you have Doc McStuffins. Why there's no like lawyer, like children's lawyer, like just a little kid going around suing his friends or representing the bully, like we're representing like the, like, you know, like a Detective like a Brown. DA. Yeah. Like a DA, like a kid DA. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You got a DA and then you got a public defender.
Right. Like, on the playground.
Law and Order Junior.
Yeah. on Nick Junior. Yes.
And instead of a gavel, like dong dong, it's like a squeaky hammer. Yes. Law and Order Junior. Man, why don't they have that? That is a great and it's just still Jerry Orbach. he's playing a kid. Is he? I don't know if he's still alive. If Jerry Orbach's still alive, let's get him on this case. And Anthony Edwards is still alive. Not Anthony Edwards. Who's the guy?
No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. What's his last name? His first name's Anthony. Oh man. Okay.
Anthony Kiedis.
No,
I was way off. Anyway,
that's the guy from
Red Hot Chili Peppers. But then they can have like a crossover with like children, like firemen, like,
oh my word,
right?
Yes, so many good ideas.
And Doc McStuffins, because like you have to have the ER, yes, right? Like like the doctor, you know. So we just need a police one. I mean, we're right there. We can make somebody get Dick Wolf on the phone, and we'll make this whole universe happen.
Let me look his phone number up on the internet. That's not what I was looking for.
Which is funny because there is a joke like that in this show that we should probably get back to.
Yes, absolutely. We give so many ideas away for free and nobody is taking up on those. So
that we know of. You know how many things are probably in production out there right now?
That's a good point. Most of them are ours. Dibs. All-time dibs.
All-time dibs.
For every idea ever. Ha-ha! Your face,
suckers.
So Tom and Ben are getting ready to go to their big tent meeting. And Tom asks, is the guy left-handed or right-handed? Because I wanted to do a little experiment that I have about which way to part my hair to get a better price. Ben's like, it's no big deal. It's just a straightforward deal. And Tom's like, why didn't you tell me? I don't have my fedora hat on, my straightforward deal fedora. And so they have to make a stop on the way. And then
at his storage unit.
Yeah.
Because he has so many fedoras.
All dem fedoras.
Or do you think it's because of like all of his leftover clothes from his
rent a swag?
Well, no, because he sold that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Anyway, go ahead.
So then Ben invites Larry to come on a little road trip. And Tom's like, why'd you do that? And Ben just says, well, he did all the paperwork, so he should be coming. And Tom is like, remember you said that when Larry's farting up the car. We have a talking head of Ben saying, Larry isn't that bad. And if we remember just a few episodes ago, Ben and Larry spent the whole day together celebrating Ben and Leslie's anniversary. And so he's the only person in the office who's really spent time like with Larry and had a good time. And Larry seems like a very nice person. So Ben sees through this and he's like, yeah, I think Larry isn't that bad. He's nice. I don't care who knows I said that, as long as no one knows I said that. So he's sticking to his guns. So then as we arrive at the tent emporium, Tom gets out of the car and he's complaining that Larry's tuna fish sandwich stunk up his suit. And so he's frustrated. Tells Larry to just stay there and work through the deal memos, and double check them, triple check them, and just don't come inside. And Larry's just like, sounds good. I'll finish my sandwich and enjoy the view. And it pans out and the view is just an alley with a dump truck driving by. That's the view. So they go inside and they meet Harvey, who is played by Rob Hubel. Harvey immediately is a terrible person when you realize that when he meets Tom, he says, who's this little genie right here?
Oh, so, I thought it was because he had a phone on his belt.
Now that's a good indicator as well. The phone on the belt is a good indicator that this person is annoying. So Tom introduces himself because he is Pawnee's business liaison. Harvey hands over the contracts and Ben's like, well, this is bigger than the one we originally looked at. And then we get to hear some of Harvey's passion for tents. He takes tents seriously. He's a tent guy. He's got over 1,300 tents in this warehouse alone. 900 of those are over 2,000 square feet. 80 of them are striped, and exactly 4 of them were once rented by Miss Renee Russo.
Whoa.
He's a big deal in the tent world.
I need Harvey and Jam to hang out.
Oh, they probably do. I bet when Harvey's on the phone or when Jam's on the phone ever, he's talking to Harvey. Just make that your headcanon.
You'll never believe the sweet bathroom I just got.
Yeah. Let that be headcanon for every Jam phone call.
Are you coming over this weekend? Michelle Wee's playing.
Yeah. Harvey would be down. So, Harvey's like, I just added a few syllables and whatnot, clauses, etc., addendums, what have you. So just go ahead and sign it. And Ben's like, well, we're going to have to take a look at this. So Tom is now frustrated because he's wearing this fedora. So he's like, so I guess this is not a straightforward deal. And he throws this fedora on the ground in a huff. Reading through the clause or the contract, Ben is like, it costs money to have people inside the tent. What's a flap tax? I was like, you'll need flaps, bro. A tent without flaps is basically a parachute. So there's an unfolding charge, a noise damage waiver. And it's like, how can it noise damage tents? And I was like, shh, keep your voice down. There's tents in here. Then there's a $50 discussion surcharge. They've been adding up everything and his assistant says they're at $400, and then $450 because they're like, this is crazy. And he's like, deal's off. We're going somewhere else. They're leaving, and Tom's like, wait, let me try one more thing. And he parts his hair the other way. He's like, what's the price now? Harvey, $80 more. I liked it better the other way. So Tom, what he takes away from this experiment is, it does have an effect, though.
It does work.
It doesn't work well, but it does do something.
It does something, yeah.
Yeah. So they drive to a gas station, and Tom gets out. He's like, my pores are clogged up from being in that dusty warehouse, so I'm going to go look for some Biore strips in this gas station. And so Larry gets out, and he starts cleaning the windows, and Ben thanks him. He's like, Gail always makes me do this. She stands behind it to watch, and pan back to Ben just going like, ugh. And they ask, how's Gail? And he's asking about his family, and Jerry's like, Larry is like, why do you want to know all this stuff? And it's like, people don't usually ask me about my life, and so it's kind of scary. And so they kind of laugh and chuckle, and Tom comes back, like, what did I miss? A Larry fart? And Ben's like, no, we were just, and Larry's like, yeah, totally, real stinky, massive fart. And Tom's like, smells like a hippopotamus took a dump on a skunk. And Tom gets in the car, and Larry just looks at Ben and is like, it's in your best interest, which is the saddest part of this whole show.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's like, Larry is a nice guy. Let Larry be Gary. All right. So then they are going to go look to other tent places. And they go to this new place, and somebody's pouring them coffee. And the lady says, that'll be $8, please. Like, you're charging us for coffee? What kind of business? And then Harvey comes out. Hello, gentlemen. And like, you own this place too? And he's like, that's right. You want to talk a deal? Because my prices have gone up since I saw you last. And so Ben's like, we're not meeting any of your demands. There are plenty of tent rental places. I'm calling Tent Emporium right now. And the phone dials up. Harvey's phone rings, picks it up. Tent Emporium, how can I help you, buttface? And then we've come to find out that Harvey owns every tent store in Southern Indiana. Of the tent names, which one is your favorite tent name that he offers?
I really like the play on words, the Tent Offensive, but that one's a little too violent for me. So I'm going to go with Ace Tentura, Tent Detective.
Okay.
And it should have been Tent Detective, but that's hard to say.
I agree with your decision.
But I also like his Chick-fil-A one. That doesn't really go with the theme, but...
You just like Chick-fil-A?
Just Chick-fil-A. No.
Yeah.
No,
I'm
it's fine.
I'm a big fan of the Tentagon.
Oh, yes.
The Tentagon. The Tentagon. So,
how can I help you, buttface? That's just how he answers every phone call.
I think it was Tom calling on his way out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because he didn't list the Tentagon.
Right.
And so he's like, well, he didn't say this one. So he called the Tentagon. And then, so it's like, anyway, man, how can you have so many tent companies in one place? I just don't know.
He's cornered the market.
I guess so. I guess so.
Rent 10 tents. Rent 10 10. Love it. Yeah, that's great.
So now Tom and Ben are continuing to look. The closest one is 300 miles away, and Ben looks up another place. It's called Sweaty Rogers Pants Tent, which is not a place you can rent tents. And so he's like, he's looking on his work computer, which is a bad thing. And he closes it down real fast. You can't get tents there. Larry is double checking all the paperwork that Tom gave him to look at in that super fun parking lot. And he realizes that Harvey's corporate structure is out of whack, a lot of code violations. And so, Ben is like, Larry, this was really great. And Tom's like, I never thought I would say it, but I'm a genius for making you stay outside and do menial tasks. So Larry's like, yep, you did it, Tom. And this whole section that I have in green should actually be yellow.
I see
for
that now.
Quite a while. So I'm going to make that switch real quick, for my own purposes. Whoops-a-daisy. Everybody just talk amongst yourselves while I change the color. Oh, that's better.
Hey guys, how you doing? What do you think about this? I mean, he does this all the time. Oh, you're back.
I'm back. So Ben goes back with Tom to confront Harvey, and they're in his really weird office over his warehouse with a couch that has zebra stripe pillows, and it's weird. So Ben points out that he has a number of code violations, and Harvey is like, well, no way, dude. You should know. I've won 2 online satellite Jamaican poker tournaments. Mm. I can tell you're bluffing. And then Tom breaks it down. Your license is lapsed, which negates most of the deals you've made this year. And I'm guessing you're bad at poker. And I'm like, I am. I was bluffing about winning those tournaments. So he's like, can we come to a compromise? And Tom's like, yeah, first of all, I need to know where you got these zebra print pillows. Second of all, I got a tin cup Blu-ray itching for a Rene Russo signature. So again, Tom, first thing first, I want my deals met, my right. needs met. So Ben is like, the compromise is we're going to come sign the deal that we originally agreed upon, and you're going to we'll let you continue renting tents, and you're going to do it at a fair price. And Larry he's the guy who brought you down, and he's going to be watching you like a hawk. And there's Larry at the desk playing with one of those Newton cradle things. And because it pans out to reveal Larry's been there the whole time. He's like, oh, hi, I'm Larry. Great to know you. I love Tent World. And Tom's frustrated. He's like, can't you just be cool for 1 second? Yeah. So now tents are secured. Huzzah.
Yay.
There are tents. So as we follow Ron's line story, he is out at the park surveying things, which I don't think they actually would need to do for this kind of an event, because the land hasn't moved since they've made the park, right?
So yeah.
They're not building anything. I don't know. Anyway.
But he got to use the surveyor's equipment.
Yeah. They probably were at the studio lot, and they're like, hey, there's some survey equipment here that we could use. Can we work this in? Ron knows how to do surveying. Why wouldn't he? So, So Ron's out there doing survey work. And Andy asks Ron an important question, hanging upside down from the monkey bars. It's like, when you go to the ATM and get money, is there an actual guy standing behind the wall who slides all the bills in there? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. Yeah, it's robots. And he's like, I do have a serious question, though. In the movie Predator, can you rub any kind of mud on yourself to prevent Predator from seeing you with his thermal heat signature sight? Or is it more? And he's swinging back and forth, and the swinging got out of control, and he falls down, lands on his face. He gets up. He's like, oh, that sucks. And Ron's like, are you hurt? He's like, no, all good. All good. And then it's like, except for my tooth, and there's blood coming out of his mouth. And Ron picks up the tooth and he's like, oh, great. 5-second rule, and tries to put it back. Hurts like crazy. And Ron's like, we got to take you to a dentist. So Ron takes Andy to the dentist, and Ron's like, the receptionist says she'll fit you in as soon as there's an opening. If you're right, I'm going to head back to the park. And Andy's like, wait, I need some help. Do you know my social security number or if I'm allergic to anything? I don't like corn. Should I put that down? And then Ron is like, let me help you. So he sits down he is helping Andy get all the paperwork done. And we get talking heads like, all I wanted was 2 hours where I forgot that I was a parent. Cut back to Andy sitting next to Ron. And he's like, look, I found the 3 differences. And he's holding up the Highlights magazine, and he's got 3 circles on 2 different pages. And Ron looks like those are completely different pictures.
I know it's a small detail, but I think that was during Ron's talking head that he does that. And the reason why the only reason why I point that out is because he can't even have his own talking head by himself.
Yes. And then another later on, they're still in the waiting room, and Andy is working through Highlights still. And like, well, the numbers don't lie. I'm a goofus, not a gallant. And Andy's like, this is taking forever. Can we just go? And Ron's like, you don't need one toothpick? Like, I don't know. I think my tooth looks fine just like this. And Ron, I love Ron. My grandmother was missing that tooth, and she was the most beautiful woman on her oil rig. So Ron's like, you're an adult. I'm not your dad. If you want to go, we can go. And they leave. And Andy's like, thanks. Even though you're not my dad, you're like an older brother to me, like a cool uncle, but old, like a grandpa, but cool, like a son. They're back in the office and Andy is drinking a tremendous drink from Punch Burger. And with every sip of from the straw, he says, ow, ow, ow. And Ron's like, you got to get your tooth fixed. He's like, no way, I'm not going back there. I already won all the magazine mazes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to be fine. And Ron's like, if you don't do this, it's only going to get worse. I'll drive you back. And Andy, fine. Let me just wolf down this peanut brittle real quick. There's a whole box of peanut brittle. And Ron just like slaps it out of his hand across the room. It's like, why would you do that? Oh, right. Because calories.
Oh, man. And then I just really wanted peanut brittle after that.
Yeah. It's definitely something that you could have eaten.
You don't like peanut brittle?
Not really. It's a lot of like remnants in your mouth. Well, after you're done eating it. And I was like, oh, I'm still eating this 4 days later. Is that peanut brittle? I should floss more.
Yeah, it stays with you, man. It's the candy that keeps on giving.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it does. Yeah. So they're back at the dentist's office and Ron's like, all right, I'll be out here if you need me. And Andy's, thank you. And he's like, hey, when it's all said and done, I need you to know there were a few mazes I cheated on. Also, the inside of my mouth is black and hot. And as he's walking out and the dental hygienist is leading him, he asks, so do I strip down to my underwear or all the way naked? Oh, that is... What kind of dentistry are you expecting here? And so,
probably the first time he's ever gone.
Yeah, my mouth is black and hot. And so Ron is there and he calls. He's like, he calls home. He's like, Diane, I'm going to come home, relieve you, give you a little break. He's like, I'm a parent. I'm always on duty. And what kind of ice cream would you like? I'm getting some for a 30-year-old who works for me, so I can bring some home for you too. So Ron is adjusting to being a parent and he's coming to more and more acceptance of it. So in the office, Donna and April are working on their vendor charts and Leslie comes in, is like, all right, I'm going to be in my office for 1 to 7 hours for my weekly chat with Anne. And she's got all her charts or her snacks and like, you guys keep working on the charts. And I've got a backup one if yours isn't good. And Donna's like, well, actually Anne called. And while you're in the bathroom, she said something came up. She'll call you later. I said, leave a voicemail. And Leslie like, why didn't you tell me? And so she runs in to listen to Anne's voicemail. And Anne is like, listen carefully. I've not been taken. I know that's what you always fear first when I'm not available. But this is not a Liam Neeson taken scenario. That's exactly what you'd make me say. And no one's making me say this. And so Anne is just trying to convince Leslie that everything is fine and she'll call her later. And so Leslie's bummed, but then she comes out to try to connect with Donna and April. So we find out, like, as she's talking to Donna, like, what's going on? What's going on in Donna Town? And she's like, I'm listening to Jaleel or No Deal, which is a podcast where the kid who played Urkel reviews old Deal or No Deal episodes. And I was like, that's stupid. And then I was like, that's actually probably a pretty good show. So then Leslie asks April, what's up? What's the hot goss? Who you crushing on these days? And April's like, ew, my husband. Can I get back to work? So then Leslie's like, no, work. You can work whenever because now is lady time. April response, you sound like a tampon commercial. So Leslie's like, no, we're going to do an impromptu Galentine's Day. And April's like, I thought you were going to do that because that she-beast moved away. What was her name? Satan. Leslie's like, nope. And she's gone. I've accepted it. We're going to have a Galentine's Day. And so she's going to do this Galentine's Day because she needs to find a new Anne. And so so she's going to have this Galentine's Day brunch. It will be a women's only marathon bonding session with tons of whipped cream. Do not Google that phrase.
a lot of don't Google today.
Yes, which is good. Y'all should just not Google. So Leslie talks to Shauna, who's there. And she's like, you look so tan. He's like, yeah, I just got back from a solo trip to Rome. I was going to go with my boyfriend, but he couldn't come because he decided to stay with his wife. and Evelyn, who I think took over Anne's job. Mm-hmm. In the
Eagleton.
Yeah. the Eagleton merger as the health person. Evelyn's there. She's like, I love Rome. It's such a great place. And I'm like, Rome played out. Y'all ever been to Kuala Lumpur? And Leslie is listening, and you can see that she's taking notes as people mm-hmm. say things. Like, when'd you go to Asia? She's like, I go all the time. How do you think I got that crystal Buddha ahead above my jacuzzi? It's like, you have a jacuzzi? Good to know. And writes that down as well. And so Leslie has a talking head. She's talking about her prospects for a new Pawnee best friend. Going through the list, Donna is confident, worldly. We go way back. April, vivid of imagination, young and vibrant. Shauna is a fixer-upper. Ethel, bit of a dark horse, crotchety, but probably wise. We've got Evelyn, a.k.a. fake Anne. I don't even know her last name. We just needed bodies. So they're doing this impromptu brunch, and she is going to have people like choose topics to talk about, and it's all fun, nothing serious, but answer questions completely because I'll know if you're lying. And so they are doing the Q&A. And so Donna's first pick is, what is your favorite TV show? And she gives her three favorite TV shows: for live tweeting a Scandal, for binge watching a Scandal, for fashion. It's actually Scandal. So her answer is Scandal. April loves watching Russian traffic accidents on YouTube while playing children's music at the wrong RPM, which sounds terrifying. And Shauna likes beauty pageants because everybody's so happy and perfect. And Ethel likes Diagnosis Murder and Skin Flicks, and then asks for some more booze from somebody at the table for her flask that she keeps on her. And then Leslie informs everybody that the correct answer is Friday Night Lights, which is weird. And Donna is a little weirded out by the correct answer. So the next one, April chooses Ladies' Choice. It's a wild card option. So Leslie's like, well, anybody reveal anything about their life, anything at all? Donna got two annulments, one for pleasure, one to cap off a long con. She was running against Keith Sweat. So that's great. And then Leslie looks over, Ethel's asleep. And then Shauna, what about you? And she's like, I'm writing a memoir based on my blog, Tweeping Up Appearances. It's about finding happiness by smiling through the pain. And then Donna notices that Leslie's been writing things down, and she's like, oh, it's just my old journal. And April grabs it. It's like, friendship rankings. What's this? It's not what it sounds like. It's just way to figure out which one of you is the best. And so everybody is offended and they start leaving. Evelyn gets up and I think sums it up very well when she says, this was a really brunch. But Leslie demands that she leave the gift bag. And Ethel says, if you do this again, don't call me. And the only one left is Shauna, which is the best way to find a best friend by default.
And I love that she's smiling. Like even she's angry about this, but all she can do is smile.
Yeah, because she's smiling through the pain.
Smiling through the pain.
So then Leslie and Shauna are talking, and we come to find out that, they're both only children. But Shauna found out when she was in college that her dad had a second family, but actually her family was the second family technically.
So, we've learned that Shauna is a very, very sad, tragic backstory.
Yes.
Today.
We've learned a lot about Shauna.
Yeah.
Just here. And then Leslie gets a phone call, she's like, oh, Anne had her baby. And she's like, this has been really fun. Those already paid. And can I just suggest that you reach out to Chris Traeger's therapist, Dr. Richard Nygaard? I always thought it was just Chris talking into a mirror. Anyway, you should look him up. I love Shauna. She's like, I don't know. I read a book once that a woman should never make the first move. I was like, that doesn't apply to therapy. Okay, good luck. And then she flies to Michigan as fast as the wind. And she meets Oliver, and she's there with Anne, and it's just so wonderful. She just dropped everything to come, and it's like, I didn't tell you because you would drop everything. And so I didn't know how long it would take, and I didn't want you just stuck waiting around. She's like, well, I'm glad I'm here. Where's Chris? Come to find out, they couldn't book Rob Lowe for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, he was such a good coach that the nurse asked him to help with delivery down the hall.
Hey, that's a pretty good excuse, though.
I guess. They could just say, things aren't working out.
Oh, wow. They could.
I'm just throwing options out there.
I wish we had never moved to Michigan.
We've made some tremendous mistakes, and now I have this child who's going to be perfect, but raising him alone. I'm going to go call Shauna for some advice. So Leslie needs to head back, she's like, I miss you so much. No one comes close to your friend, and I tried to rank the women at work, but that was a total bust. She's like, yeah, I thought maybe I could use Galentine's Day. And Anne is like, you use Galentine's Day to find a replacement for me? And Leslie's like, yeah, it didn't work. Nobody can match your ethnic hybrid energy. And Anne's like, everybody brings their own energy and strength to the table. And some I don't have. And Leslie's like, shut your mouth. You have all the strengths. So Anne is like, you know, Donna and April love you. They'll do anything for you. And it's not like we always see eye to eye, and they talk about Friday Night Lights, which reveals why it's the correct answer earlier when she said the correct answer is Friday Night Lights, is because that was their favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I see. You're just living in the past, Leslie. You need to move on into the future.
Because Anne likes Riggins and she's more Saracen, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Where's the love for Street?
Jason Street. Oh, come on. My word.
Still got love for the Street.
Was he left the show, right? Like, he wasn't in after like the first season.
No, he stuck around for a little bit, I think. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
And then Michael B. Jordan comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great. Yeah, I actually really loved that show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I thought I would hate it. And then I watched it, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I love this way more than I should. And I tried to rewatch it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And first season, first like four episodes are painful.
Didn't work.
No, but yeah. But if you have to choose between Saracen and Riggins, where are you landing there, Jeremy?
Oh my gosh. It's been a while. They're both ding dongs in their own way. Like, it's hard to root for either one. I guess I really liked Riggins because he was the, you know, OG. And then Saracen comes in. Saracen was good, though. I don't know. Maybe it's Saracen.
The correct answer is Crash.
Crash?
Yeah, the running back. Was it Crash or Smash? Crash. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah. He's the correct answer.
Dang it. I always get that one wrong.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But I would also take Saracen as a number two, except he left. He went to art school, right? It's like, come on, man. You can't leave this small Texas town. What is anybody going to talk to you about in art school? Nothing.
Culture.
Boo. Hendry also would be a good choice. And his band, his Christian...
yeah, Landry
metal band,
yeah,
Crucifictorious.
Oh my gosh.
Man, I just can't believe, like, of all the characters, all the actors in that show, that the guy who played Hendry is the actor with the most gravitas right now.
Oh yeah,
like from Hendry to Breaking Bad to The Power of the Dog, like he's had like some intense roles, and he started out like really as Hendry. It's like, what? And he's married to
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, it's like, how did all this happen?
Yeah, because they were in Fargo together too.
Oh, they were?
The TV show. Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched this show.
No, it's pretty good. The first season was awesome. Second season got a little weird. Third season, I don't even remember.
Okay, so first season's good.
Yeah, first season's good.
I'll check it out.
Yep.
I'll check it out.
All and right. Michael B. Jordan, he's huge right now.
Yeah, he's huge.
The guy's huge. He was on the show, he was just this skinny little quarterback, but now he's like Creed 3.
Yeah, but he was like, he had star power like right away.
Oh yeah.
So like, I'm saying like, Hendry is just, he's the Ethel Beavers of this Friday night situation. He's the dark horse.
He is the dark horse. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, he was so good in Breaking Bad.
And he's a Nazi in something recently, I think.
He was a Nazi in something recently. You're right.
Anyway.
I can't remember what it is, but he was.
Schindler's List 2? Was it the sequel? No?
Oh, no. They should not make that.
I don't think they can. Okay.
Anybody can make anything. That's what if the current media landscape has told us anything. Like, look at what we're doing.
Well, in the Schindler in the Schindler cinematic universe, I mean, I think there's a. I need to stop. I don't have an out for this whatsoever.
I'm just tripling
down on a bad decision.
Yes. So, Leslie,
I'm running for office.
This is my platform. Here are some terrible TV ideas. Or movies. Really, yeah, it's up to you.
I'm open.
In the current streaming landscape.
Any landscape, really.
It's going to be worldwide. Leslie leaves and comes back with coffee for her friends. For April, she brought black coffee with extra grounds. And for Donna, a mocha ice blended. And she apologizes that she totally screwed up. And Donna's like, we love you. And April says, I think you're fine. Like a solid B minus. That's like, I'll take it. And she's like, look, we know you've been missing Anne. So we got you this. And it's a little, stuffed animal with like a voice box. You press the paw and it talks. And the first one it says is, it's Anne. I love you, and everything's going to be okay. And Donna's like, it's cute, right? And Leslie's like, I just love you both so much. I'm lucky to have you. You know, when Anne and I used to fight, we'd have a 5-minute long hug. And April and Donna both leave because they don't want to have the hug. And April says, if you touch me, I'll stab the bunny. And so Leslie's fine. So then she's like, we'll make our own unique traditions. And that after they leave, and she is there with the bunny. And she pushes the paw, and then it's April's voice saying, I'm just an impartial bunny, but I think Anne sucks. Also, I'm the Zodiac killer. So then in the credit scene, we have everybody back together in the office. And Tom's like, yeah, we'd be able to pull it off under budget, talking about the tents and everything. And Jerry comes in. Sorry, I'm late. Couldn't find my inhaler. I'm having a little a panic attack. And Tom's like, take your time. I mean, we're trying to get work done here. And April's like, yeah, by the way, you're looking in the wrong spot. It's under the pile of pistachio shells on my desk, obviously. And Jerry's like, oh, that's funny. I'm terribly allergic to pistachios.
Classic.
Andy's just like, classic. So Ben is like, you know what? I need to say something. He's tired of seeing all of what's happening to Larry in the office. And he is like, stands up. I like Larry. Gets up on a chair. He is a good friend and a fine man with an inexplicably gorgeous wife. I mean, to the point where it makes no sense. Sorry, getting off track. He is a nice person. We should all stand up and say, I like, and Tom's like, Ben, what are you doing? And Donna, you're embarrassing yourself, throwing away your career. And Leslie's like looking at him, shaking her head, like, sweetheart, stop. And Ben starts to Dead Poet Society, this bad boy. And he's like, oh, captain, my captain. And Ron's like, what is happening? Ben is like, Larry is my friend. And Jerry, like, thank you, Ben. I mean that. And that he just to turn around and like bend a little bit. He's like, oh, I got so startled. I tooted. I was like, come on, man.
Come on. Help me out a little bit. I went on a limb.
And that's how this episode ends, with an actual Larry fart.
Oh, gross.
So, yeah. So the Leslie stuff is just sad because Leslie is a sad person. It's like, you got to move on, friend. So she's finally learning that. But yeah, I think the Rob Hubel as Harvey, that was the best part for me.
Yeah, and Andy's journey through the dentist magazines, I thought was pretty great. Mm-hmm. Especially after we found out that he cheated.
Yeah, he cheated on all of them. And we all knew he's a cheater when he just starts circling random things in two different pages.
Mm-hmm. How do you cheat in a maze? You just go through the walls?
Yeah, probably. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Highlights was one of the best things when you were a kid, going to the doctor or the dentist. Like, the Highlights magazine was so awesome.
Yeah, because there was actually things to do in it. Like, activities.
Yeah.
And you learn stuff.
Yes. Like, whether or not you're a goofus or a gallant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, really great was Sports Illustrated Junior.
Oh, wow. And you went to the rich, like this guy over here, going to the rich dentist with magazines.
Yep. Ranger Rick magazine was good.
Wow. And Ranger Rick.
Yeah. I mean, the dentist is the one with the money. That's the whole reason my parents like took me to orthodontics and stuff was like, we need you to get an education.
That was your Montessori school.
Yeah. They wanted to homeschool, but they're like, we're busy.
Yeah. Here, eat this candy. So you have to go to the dentist a lot. Yeah,
I know. Let's really mess up your teeth.
Yeah. It's smart. You know, if you got the insurance, you get the education.
Yeah, that's all they had. Insurance and three kids. One of them.
Wing and a prayer.
One of them is going to need to get close to medical school.
That's cool. They picked you, you know.
I showed promise, but I wouldn't report them.
You made a deal early on. That's good. That's good.
It's like, please, I got to get out of here. This orthodontic education is my only chance.
What was the name of the fish in the tank? Because obviously it was probably one of your best friends.
Reggie
the...
Yeah, Reggie the orange fish that was in the tank.
Yeah.
So that's my go-to fake name, Reggie.
Reggie?
Yeah. So like at Starbucks, if they ask for my name, sometimes I'll say Reggie. Just to, you know, as a tribute to that fish that is long dead.
See, my problem with fake names is I would forget that I gave him a fake name and then my coffee would just sit up there forever.
Oh, no. I never forget because I wait and I want to... Because I hand people my card, which has my name on it. And when they ask for my name, it's like, it's right in front of you. And so that's part of the fun for me. So just to see if they react when I say a different name, and they never do because they don't care. And then I wait for them to call out the name to see if they react. They never do. They don't care.
Or like when you have to sign on the screen and you just scribble a bunch of stuff. They're not going to check if that's your... I drew a picture once just to see. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Yeah, they don't care.
Okay.
They don't care.
They're not paid. I mean, people don't get paid enough to care, you know? I get it.
I do know that.
I get it. Next week is prom.
Oh, yeah.
Aired April 3rd, 2014, almost 9 years exactly to when we recorded this.
Oh, man. We also, in that episode, we get a surprise guest. Pachytis. Yeah, dude. Pachytis is back. Man, I love Greg Pachytis. He's the best. So... Yeah. All right. Well, Jeremy, we should end this.
Let's do it.
So that we can... My dog just barked.
In agreement.
Like, yes, I agree. I want to bark at something. So she's doing that.
Cool, man. Well, then, I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.